Madagay, Gimbe, Bidipi, Baray. That means welcome friends to Biripi Country, and it is on behalf of the Biripi people who stayed into this land. I would like to pay respect to the elders both past and present, and extend that respect to all listeners of King's Kids.
Do you think God is not interested in you? Hello, I'm Heidi, and welcome to King's Kids. Many people think God doesn't like them because of the lifestyle they're into, but that's not true. Listen to what Tony Denison has to say. It might help you understand a bit more about God's attitude towards you.
Today I want to talk about, are you too bad for God? Can God love you when you're dead in your sin? Well, the answer to that is yes, he can, because God's love will always shine through and will always overcome, because Jesus said his love will overcome all things, and that sin was taken on the cross by Jesus, and therefore he has the power and the victory over sin. And that's what it is. When you're dead in sin, you're dead to God. But does that mean God stops loving you? No, he doesn't. God loves you no matter what you do. And today I want to give you some examples out of my life and maybe a couple of other people's lives. And, you know, if God ever had a chance at one time in his life to say, well, that person's really too bad for me to love, you know, he would have had a couple of people that he could choose from. But, you know, God is so, so good that he doesn't discredit or bar anybody from his love. And people might think, well, what is sin? Is it because you're a murderer? Or is it because you broke the Ten Commandments? If you're in adultery, or if you're telling lies. And sin actually separates us from God. But you see, when we become Christians, we're not separated from God anymore. But, you know, we still sin. It's important to know, even though you're a Christian, we still sin. But Jesus said, all you have to do is confess with your mouth your sin, and it's no longer there. And so let's get back to what I started to say was, what I started to say was this, are you too bad for God? Are you too bad for God to love you? No, you're not. You see, because if that was the case, this old black fellow. You see, when I was robbing banks, when I was a brothel owner, when I ran with the mob, when I was involved in drug deals, when I was involved in witchcraft in my life, you know, God could have sat up there in heaven and put my name on a whiteboard, and he could have put a cross on it and said, no, this bloke's too bad for me. God didn't do that because God loved me. And God wanted me no matter what. And God's so patient because it took a long time for me to come to the Lord. I might add, somebody prayed for me for 14 years before I accepted Christ, before I even started to warm up to the idea that Christ loved me, that Christ would accept me just as I am. I'm reminded of a story of a woman that I knew. I got called out one night late at night to pray for this woman, to read the last rites to her, because she probably had less than a week to live. She was a lesbian, she was into witchcraft, and she was dying of AIDS through a bad needle. So she was also a junkie. Now, did that qualify her for God not to love her? Did that qualify her for God to put a cross against her name? No, it didn't. You see, because God had a plan. He's always got a plan for our lives, whether it's my life, whether it's you out there listening to me today, or whether it's your neighbour, your in-law, your outlaw, your mother-in-law. Even God loves mother-in-laws. I know we don't think so at times, because I often say to people, that wind today is as cold as a mother-in-law's kiss. It sometimes goes through you rather than around you. Anyway, getting back to this woman, she was into witchcraft, she was a lesbian, she was into drugs, she was a witch, she was into seances, and she was dying of AIDS. But you know what? God had a plan, and the plan was, when nobody else would go and minister the last rites to this woman, they rang me, and God told me to get up and go, not to read the last rites, but to breathe life into this woman. And it just, you just didn't walk into somebody's house and say abracadabra and it was all okay and it was all fixed. You know, I sat down and like I always do, I prayed about it and asked God to give me the words to say. It took 2 hours and this woman relented and said, okay, Tony, I want God to heal me. I want God to come into my life. I want to stop doing all the things that I've been doing. All it took was a simple prayer. She prayed the sinner's prayer. She gave her heart to God. And this doesn't happen all the time. But when she got saved, she got healed. She was completely healed of AIDS. And she was also healed emotionally. She was healed of her drug dependency. She gave up witchcraft. She gave up even being a lesbian because God came in and changed and broke all the chains of bondage that was over this woman's life. God didn't give up on her. You know, this woman wasn't a young woman. This woman was probably in her 40s. But, you know, 40 years she lived her life and did it her way, Frank Sinatra's way. I did it my way. But you see, God had a different plan for her. And one day, God just sent me along. I prayed with this woman and she was set free from all these things. God is so good and so gracious because you know why? Because God had a plan for her. And God's got a plan for you. It doesn't matter what you've done or what you're doing. I know, I remember once I was speaking to a woman in Sandstone College and she wasn't there to visit me. She was visiting her husband, and he was delayed in coming out. And the Lord spoke to me 3 times to speak to this woman. And I said, Lord, what am I saying? And the Lord said to me, see, God gave me a word of knowledge, a word in season. And sometimes it only takes one word to get somebody saved. And I actually said to this woman, I said, you know, God loves you. And he said, for me to tell you that I love you too. You think God can't love you because you're into drugs, prostitution, witchcraft, all these things. And when I said that, she knew that God had spoken to her because only God would have known. And you see, it doesn't matter what we're into, God loves us. And God's always trying to work things out for the good of those people that don't know him. And you know, God never gives up. I'm reminded of a cartoon I saw once on a wall with a pelican, and he had this frog in his mouth, and the frog's hands came out from the pelican's mouth and was choking him by the neck so that he couldn't swallow him. And it said, never give up. And that's the way God is with you. He never gives up. I've known some pretty bad criminals in my time from Sandstone College. And you know what? I've had the privilege of preaching and ministering inside of Sandstone College. In fact, you know, 149 prisoners got saved and 49 prison guards. And I was pretty impressed by those stats because you keep a record of people when they come to the Lord. You don't forget those things. Well, it doesn't matter whether it's Sandstone College or whether it's in a church. I mean, I've prayed for lots and lots of people in churches and they've got saved. And I've prayed for people on the street and they got saved. And you never forget one of them. They're always there in the back of your mind because it's something to shout about. It's something to rejoice about. And you know, if you're a churchgoer, a regular churchgoer, and you're listening to this episode today, you think back before you got saved. And I bet there was a time in your life that you thought you wasn't good enough for God. That you thought that God couldn't even love you. And you know what the problem with a lot of people in churches today, the longer they're saved, the more they tend to forget what God saved them from. You know what I'm talking about. By our word, by our testimony that leads people to the Lord, it's not giving somebody a King James Bible and say, read that from start to finish, then God will touch you, God will talk to you, God will bring you into the kingdom of God. It doesn't work that way. Well, I found it doesn't work that way. I find that you get people saved quicker by giving them a testimony, your testimony. You're their friends. You're the person they know. Not some black fella coming into a church and preaching gospel. Yeah, they do like that. And that works a lot of the time. But you know what? If you really want to get somebody saved, you know, you introduce them to God by the power of your testimony. And you mightn't have a testimony like Tony Dennison, bank robber, you know, brothel owner, you know, drug dealer, witchcraft, seances. You don't have a testimony like that, but you've got a testimony. Everybody's got a testimony.
All the colours of the rainbow, all the voices of the wind, every dream that reaches out, it reaches out to find where love begins. Every word of every story, every star and every sky, every hand that reaches out, every hand that reaches out to offer peace, every simple act of mercy, every step to kingdom come, all the hope in every heart will speak what love has done.
I love listening to other people's testimonies. When I meet people, when they tell me their testimony, they say, but oh brother, I wasn't as bad as you, but you know, I said, tell me how you got saved. Tell me who introduced you to God. You know, I was talking to a young man only yesterday on the phone, and I talk to him every day. And when I first met him, his family introduced him to Christ, but he wasn't sure. and he didn't know where to go in that. And when I met him, I prayed for him, and God put a love in my heart for this young man and a love in his heart for me. You know what? We talk every day, and I pray with him every day. And now he said to me, he said, you know what, I feel bold and confident in my prayers now. And he said, I can go out there and witness to somebody. And he said, you know what, he said, my partner, she's not my wife, she's my partner. When I told her I was going to church and I met you and I told her that, you know, you've influenced my life with your testimony. And she said, well, I don't want none of that crap. I don't want none of that garbage. And I don't even want you going to church. If you want to stay in this relationship, you better think about giving God a miss. Through prayer, perseverance, him just going about, he's like the big BP, just doing it very quietly. He's not shoving the Bible down a throat. And he rang me all excited the other day. He said, you know what? We sat up the other night and she asked me about God. How do I know God is real? How do I know that God really loves me? How do I know that God cares about me? And you know what? He was so excited when he rang me and talked to me about it. Only a couple of weeks ago, I met this lady on the phone because she listened to King's Kids. She was so moved by the power of God through that radio session that she heard that she went and told all her family and her friends. She told everybody. And she was so moved by that one word that she heard, and it changed her life. Because she said to me, she said, Pastor Tony, I have no hope. She said, my daughter has no hope. My granddaughter has no hope. Because we just don't know how to go about it. We just don't know how to trust God. We don't know how to let God into our lives. Only a couple of nights ago, I prayed for three generations. I prayed for the granddaughter, I prayed for the mother, and I prayed for the grandmother. From three different locations on the phone within an hour. That just shows you that nobody is too bad for God, because God loves all of us. And all those people that don't know him, God loves them just the same. He doesn't love what they do. When I was into the things I was into, God still loved me. He didn't like me when I was robbing banks. He didn't like me when I had a brothel. He didn't like me when I was drinking a Scotch whiskey for breakfast and having chocolate Monty biscuits for breakfast and then going out and playing a game of football 2 hours later. I remember that I was that intoxicated once playing football. We was playing at an agricultural college, and I had the ball and I was heading for the try line. I thought I was anyway. I had too much to drink, and I knew I was in trouble when I started palming off sheep. I'd run off the field and was running through the paddock, and they were singing out, bring the ball back. God didn't like me when I was doing things like that, but God loved me all the same. Because God is God. He loves us all the time. And you know what I said to someone yesterday? Somebody had rang me for prayer, and I prayed for this person. And I said, you know, the way people treat me or the way people speak to me, whether it's good or bad, doesn't govern the way that I pray for people. It doesn't govern the way how I treat people, because I want to treat people the way that God treats me. I want to treat people with respect. I want to treat people with love. And I don't want to find fault or bad in anybody, because you know what? God doesn't do that either. Because God always looks for the good. It might take you 50 years to get saved, but God still loves you even when you're dead to sin. I remember preaching once in Manly, and I preached at a communion service. I preached four sermons in the one day. And this woman came out after the first one, and she said to me, Pastor, I've been coming to this church for 80 years, since I was 4 years old. And she said, up until now, I thought I was a Christian. I thought if I died today, I was going to go to heaven. She said, I know after hearing you speak this morning that I'm not saved. And there was a lot of people coming out of the church. I said, you park your walking frame over there, stand there. When these people go past, I'm going to pray for you. We're going to change that. We're going to bring you into the kingdom of God. If you're willing to say the sinner's prayer with me, you will have salvation. And God has always loved you, but he'll love you no more today than after you say the sinner's prayer, because he'll love you just the same. God's love doesn't differentiate whether you love him or not. God's love for you is not dependent on whether you love him or not. And you know, I've proven that by the way that I lived my life before I got saved, before I had salvation. And I can tell you many, many other people that I met through Sandstone College who thought they were too bad for God. I remember a man called Kevin Crump, and he committed some horrific murders. But you know what? He was not too bad for God. God loved him. He got saved. He had salvation. Even though it was in prison, he got it from hearing one of my sermons. And a lady that used to visit me regular when I was in Sandstone College later on went on to commit one of the most horrific crimes in this country's ever seen. And her name's Catherine Knight. But you see, she got saved. God saved her because she wanted to repent. She wanted to give her heart to God. And you know what? She has peace. It doesn't matter what she's done or doesn't matter what I've done. But most importantly, it doesn't matter what you've done. You're not too bad for God. God will always love you every day. And God is putting a plan in place right now for you who don't know him.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals, he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me.
Of God's word and the power of salvation. You know, a child can say something that can get you saved. And I'm going to remind you of a story that I told many times. My young son, well, he's 24 now, He was only about 3 to 4 years old, and we was heading to Sydney from our Drua to a family day out. And there was no seats left on the train. When you got a mob as big as I have, you know, you need a Murray mover. Anyway, we was on the train, and this old lady said, you know, the little fella can sit next to me. See, that wasn't a coincidence that there wasn't enough seats. It wasn't a Minty's moment. It was a God moment, you see, because this lady was on the train. She was going to Sydney. She was going to go to the Sydney Harbour Bridge. She was probably in her 60s, and she wanted to kill herself. She wanted to jump off the Harbour Bridge because she had no reason to live. And when we got to Central, she got off the train when we got off, and she came up to me and she said, I want to thank you for letting that little boy sit next to me, because he never shut up about God for the whole train trip, and he's changed my life, because today I was going to commit suicide. But that little boy talking about Jesus and talking about God the way he did changed my life, and I just want to find a church. I want to give my heart to God. She didn't have to find a church, because this old black fella led her to the Lord right there on the platform at Central Station. Whatever she did, whatever she felt the reason to kill herself was, it didn't matter, because God loved her. And didn't matter what her sins was. And you see, you got to understand this, whether you're saved or not saved, especially if you're saved, you're the hardest one to convince. Until we know God, until we make a commitment to God and have be born again and have salvation, we're all sinners. We're all living in sin. I've come across a lot of people in churches that said, well, I'm good with God. Me and God are pretty good. I don't go to church. I don't go regular. But me and God are pretty cool. I don't drink. I don't bash my wife. I don't kick the dog. But I got news for them. Unless they're born again and have salvation, they're going to hell. Unless you personally have a commitment to God, and God is committed to you, when he promises to be committed to you the moment you ask him to come into your life, are you too bad for God? No, you're not. Because Jesus said in John 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son to die for you. He came to give you life more abundantly, not to come to criticize, not to condemn. Jesus come that you may have life more abundantly.
If you'd like to know more about coming to know Jesus personally, give Tony a ring on 0427 839 474. That's 0427 839 474. He'd love to hear from you and talk to you about the abundant life Jesus wants to give you. If you'd like to hear today's message again, go to kingskidsministries.org and either stream or download the program. Just click the listen button to find episodes of King's Kids. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week. I'm Heidi, and on behalf of Tony and the King's Kids team, bye for now. King's Kids is produced in the studios of Rema FM, Port Macquarie.